Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll be looking at 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 1 through 7, which is on page 309 of the Bibles provided for you. 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. We're continuing our look at the life of Elisha the prophet. Last week we saw Elisha's role in an incident, large-scale incident involving kings and armies and nations fighting each other. So we've been looking at kings in the last section, but this week we're moving to the other end of the scale in the eyes of the world. We're moving to the poor and the helpless in Elisha's day. And you'll see over the next few weeks that Elisha actually spends more of his recorded ministry, at least, working in what we might consider these so-called small situations. Elijah had more of a ministry involving the kings and the great political issues, but Elisha paid attention to these small issues, if we might call them. But God is not only concerned with large-scale political issues. God is the God who saves the needy and the poor. So listen for the amazing care that God showed this woman and her children here in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. This is the word of God. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your son, behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." We end the reading of God's perfect word here at this point. Are you a needy person? You might say, "Well, no, I'm not a needy person." Needy people we usually think of being people who need attention all the time. They need words of affirmation all the time. And none of us wants to be a needy person in that sense. But maybe I should put it another way. Do you have needs that you can't fill in your life? Are there hard circumstances in your life that you can't fix? Are there people hurting you in your life and you can't stop them? Are you suffering in any way that you can't change? Well, friends, if we're honest, every one of us is needy in that sense. And the question is, how do you handle that neediness? Where do you look for help in the various circumstances of life? Our passage this morning is about a woman who was needy in a very tangible way. Her husband had died. She was in debt. And the lender was coming to take away her children into slavery. She was suffering partly because of circumstances, things that just happened to her, and also because of people around her who were hurting her. And in her moment of need, when she hit rock bottom, she turned to the prophet Elisha. She turned to the man that God had sent to help his people, the man of God, as we've referred to Elisha in the past. She understood that if she needed God's help, she needed to turn to the man of God. And friends, the same is still true today. God has sent you a Savior, the man Jesus Christ. And He didn't just come to take the penalty for your sins on the cross and then leave you to handle life on your own. If you trust in Him, Jesus cares about all the needs in your life. And He will save you in just the way you need if you cry to Him. You have needs. And whatever needs you have, cry out to Jesus to save you. Whatever needs you have, cry out to Jesus to save you. We see several different categories of needs that this widow had that you can compare to needs in your own life. So first of all, cry out to Jesus to save you, because Jesus saves you from needs in your circumstances. Jesus saves you from needs in your circumstances. And when I say needs in your circumstances, I realize that's a little bit clumsy. What I mean is things you might refer to as acts of God, or things that just seem to happen to you that you can't quite blame a certain person for. Listen to the way this poor woman described her situation. Her husband had been one of the sons of the prophets. As we've noted a couple times already, the sons of the prophets weren't literally Elisha's sons. These were men who followed after the prophet of the day. They'd followed after Elijah, and then when Elisha became the prophet, they followed him and took orders from him. But these were men who devoted their lives to the work of the ministry. They were scattered all around the land of Israel to bring the word of God to God's people. And this man had devoted his life to serving the Lord. And Elisha knew this man personally. Look at the way that his wife talks about it. She says in verse 1, "You know that your servant feared the Lord." And more literally, she said, "Your servant was fearing the Lord." It's this ongoing sense that his whole life was defined by this fear of the Lord. That was who he was. And as you think about that, keep in mind what it was like to be faithful to the Lord in these days. This was a day when the whole nation of Israel was chasing after Baal, after the false god Baal, and followers of the Lord were persecuted. It was so bad at one point Elijah thought that he was the only one left who served the Lord. Those who served the Lord were a persecuted minority, and it's even possible that this man was killed as part of that persecution. We don't know how he died. This woman's husband was someone who had given his life to serving God, and now he had died. We don't know how he died, but think for a moment what it was like to be this woman. She and her husband had sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed to serve the Lord. They'd been different from the Baal worship going on around them. They'd been willing to stand up for what was right, and this woman had watched her husband living this God-fearing life, standing up for what was right, and then how did God reward him? He was taken from his family before his children were even grown. And not only that, his wife and children were left with debts that they couldn't pay. And a man had come to take her children into slavery. You can imagine along the way, we don't know for sure, but you can imagine that this woman had already cried out to the Lord for help along the way as they were in financial need, as her husband's life was in danger. But God, up to this point, had left them in their circumstances. He left her in her circumstances. How could God let that happen? Think about the doubts or the fears or the thoughts that would go through her mind at that time. How could God let this happen, and how could God even have planned for this to happen? Can you identify with that situation? Are there times when it seems like God doesn't see what's happening to you? Or maybe even worse, that it seems like God doesn't care what's happening to you? But this woman didn't stop looking for God's help. This threat of her children being taken away was sort of a last straw, and she went to Elisha for help. She went to the man of God, to the prophet that God had sent to help his people, and God saved her miraculously. God used her circumstances to push her to where she needed to cry out to the man of God, to see that she needed God's Savior that he had sent. He used those circumstances to teach her that she needed to cry out to the man of God. But God had not turned a blind eye to her problems. He knew and had planned every detail of her life. Ephesians 1 verse 11 tells us that we have been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. God has planned everything that comes to pass. And that may not be much comfort to you if you think, okay, great, God has planned all the suffering that's happening to me. But then combine that with Romans 8 28, where God gives us the purpose of his plan. He says in Romans 8, 28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So if everything is planned by God, and everything is planned for the good, for your good, if you believe in Jesus Christ, he will save you from every circumstance in exactly the way you need. Whatever circumstances you are in, or he leaves you in, or saves you from, those are exactly what you need for your good. And often God uses these circumstances to help us, to drive us to him, to drive us to cry out to him. Think about how this worked out during the time when Israel was enslaved in Egypt. When Israel was enslaved in Egypt, or long before Israel was enslaved in Egypt, before there was even a nation of Israel, God told Abraham that they would serve another nation for 400 years. And he said it was because the iniquity of the Amorites wasn't complete. It wasn't time to go into the promised land yet. This was all part of God's plan. He had worked these things out. But just because that suffering was for their good, and just because it was part of God's plan, doesn't mean that he didn't respond to cries for help. Listen to Exodus chapter 2, just before Moses comes. Exodus 2, 23 to 24, tells us that Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham. And then God brought them a Savior. He brought them the man of God, Moses, helping them see that their salvation would eventually come through the one man, Jesus Christ. So friends, in the same way in our passage this morning, this woman's circumstances were from the Lord. But when she cried out to the Lord, he did save her. He saved her the way that she needed. And in the same way, even if you know that your suffering is part of God's plan, cry out to him to save you, and he will save you in just the way you need. Are you angry with God about your circumstances? Does it seem like he has abandoned you? Maybe you're suffering physically. Or maybe a loved one has been taken from you. You can't seem to catch a break at work or financially. And in those circumstances, you can't really find a person to blame. These are things that just seem to happen to you. Friends, if you feel that way, cry out to Jesus to save you. Let those hardships push you towards God and towards the Savior that he has sent you. He's been sent to save you from harm, to save you from what it will harm you in the end. In the same way that this woman turned to the chosen man of God, friends, turn to Jesus. Cry out to him to save you from your circumstances. Now, this widow was not just a victim of circumstance. As I've said, there were people who had let her down and who were actively hurting her. So secondly, cry out to Jesus because Jesus saves you from needs caused by people. Because Jesus saves you from needs caused by people. We aren't given much information about this woman's debt. It's kind of frustrating how little information we have. We don't know where it came from. We don't know why they took out these loans. But even with the little information we have, what we do have doesn't reflect well on this lender or on this woman's community. The laws that God had given Israel through Moses included a lot of information about poverty and the poor and debt and hardship and all these things. There are lots of laws pertaining to these things. And the law also says a lot about the fatherless and the widow and how they should be treated. So I want to read to you two sections from God's law that apply to this situation. As I read these parts of God's law, listen for what might apply to what we've been reading about. First, from Exodus 22, verses 22 to 27. Exodus 22, 22 to 27. God said, "You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me," and that cry out is the same word that's used at the beginning of our passage when she cries out to Elisha. "If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn. and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a moneylender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him. If ever you take your neighbor's cloak in pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering, and it is his cloak for his body. In what else shall he sleep? And if he cries to me, I will hear, for I am compassionate. Then from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 17 to 20. Deuteronomy 24, 17 to 20. You shall not pervert the justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless, or take a widow's garment in pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. Now, I've read all this to help us see that there are three principles for care for the poor and the helpless in Israel that we can get from these passages. First of all, Israelites were not permitted to take away the basic necessities from someone, even if they were in debt. They were not permitted to take away what is referred to here as a person's cloak, what they needed to cover themselves at night. But the principle goes out to whatever they need to survive. You couldn't make someone starve just to take back what they owed you in Israel at this time. Second principle we see is that helpless people like widows and the fatherless were supposed to be supported by their community through these gleaning laws. This idea you were supposed to leave some of your produce out for them to go and harvest and support themselves. And then thirdly, if a widow had to cry out to God for help, it reflected badly on her community. And God even says that his wrath would burn against that community because they were not helping this widow. So when you apply these principles to our situation this morning, it does put this lender in a bad light. In those days, a widow had no way, really, of economically supporting herself. But clearly, these children of hers were old enough to do some work. They were going to be enslaved. And they were really her only hope of sustenance. She had at least one son. It's either a son and a daughter or two sons. And they would have been the means of supporting her going forward. So for this man to come and take her children is like taking the cloak in the law of God. It's taking her only means of support. And in a sense, it's even worse than if he had taken her into slavery, because then he would have had to have fed her and housed her. But what he had come to do was just to take her children, who were of more use to him, and leave her to starve. We also see that the fact that she's been reduced to having only one small jar of oil means that probably the gleaning laws were not being observed at this time. She did not have the sustenance that she needed. And since she had to cry out to God for help, I think we can assume that her pleas for mercy to her lender fell on deaf ears. And I go through all this to show you that this woman had been let down by the people around her. And not just any people, she had been let down by the people of God. And friends, the same will be true in your life, if it isn't already. You will be hurt by your church family. You will be hurt by the people who are supposed to be there to support you. And the answer in those dark times is to cry out to the Savior that God has sent you. When everyone else around you fails you, cry out to your Savior who will never fail you. We read about a similar situation in Paul's life in 2 Timothy 4 earlier. How at the end of his ministry he found himself abandoned. Demas had abandoned him, and Alexander the coppersmith had done him great harm. And even though there were a few who remained with him, like Luke, at that critical moment when he stood trial, they all left him. He says, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but they all deserted me. But then what does he say next? But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Friends, just like Paul in that moment at that trial when everyone had deserted him, and just like our widow here in this passage whose community had let her down, you will be let down by your brothers and sisters in Christ. But in those moments, cry out to God. Cry out to Jesus Christ to save you. Because I think often Jesus uses these circumstances to keep us from relying just on the people around us and to rely completely on Christ himself. To remind us that your foundation must be Jesus, the man of God, and no one else in your life as your ultimate foundation. So how have you been hurt by the people around you? Do you look around for support and no one's there? I hope that our church has been supportive, and there are times when you've received that help. But when those times come when you don't have that support, where will you turn in that moment? Brothers and sisters, when the members of Christ's body fail you, Jesus Christ, the head, will never fail you. He will always hear you and deliver you in just the way you need, even when those around you hurt you and let you down. Now, when you're in a crisis like this widow was, it's hard to see past the moment. It's hard to see past that crisis that's right in your face. But the good news is that Jesus knows what you need better than you do. So cry out to Jesus to save you. Thirdly, because Jesus saves you from needs you aren't aware of. Jesus saves you from needs you aren't aware of. So far, we focused mostly on the details of this widow's appeal, the early verses here. But the good news of this story is that God delivered this woman in an amazing, miraculous way. She went out, she followed Elisha's directions, and went out and borrowed all kinds of vessels. And I do have to say, we need to give her community credit that they at least were willing to lend her these things. She goes out and brings all these empty vessels in, closes the door, and starts pouring. She has this little jar of oil. The word for this jar is not used anywhere else. It seems to have something to do with anointing. So a small jar of oil. It wasn't something big. She starts pouring, and it just keeps coming. And it keeps coming. And you just see her kids bringing her vessel after vessel. And she just keeps. And we get a wonderful little glimpse of how this was happening when she's pouring. And she says, "Give me another one." And her son says, "There aren't any more. You filled all of them. God has filled every vessel she could find to the brim." And in that moment, from the moment she began pouring to the end, she's gone from being so poor her kids were going to be sold into slavery, to having so much more than she even needed to pay her debt. So she goes to Elisha and she reports this. She says, "It happened. It did what you said it would." And Elisha tells her, to sell the oil, to go pay off her debt, and live on the remainder. And it's that last part I want to point out here. Elisha told her, "You and your sons can live on the rest." This woman came to him with a critical need in the moment, an urgent need of this debt that needed to be paid. She asked for him to help her with that debt. But God knew what she needed more than just that one request, and he provided so much more. He knew that she needed something to live on after that debt was paid, so he provided far more than she asked for. And friends, this is true of the way that God blesses us through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, listen to the way that Paul talks about the Lord. He says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." To him who does far more abundantly than we can even ask or think. You and I may be too focused on our immediate needs, the things that are just in our faces, the things that we can't think past because they seem so important right now. But God has not forgotten about your other needs. Listen to the way that Paul talks about God providing for us in two other places. In Philippians 4, verse 19, Paul says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, Paul says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Friends, when you are in a crisis, there are many parts of your life that fall by the wayside. Many things you just can't pay attention to because you're focused on the issue at hand. And even if you can't keep track of it all, sometimes just that thought in the back of your mind of all the things that aren't being attended to may be its own source of anxiety. Just think, well, how am I going to go on? Even when I get through this with all the other things that are going on. But in those situations, let God's care for this widow be a comfort to you. That even when you are focused on this one need, God knows better than you do what you need and cares for all those other needs as well. He provided for the moment and for her life going forward. Kids, you probably go to your mom for a lot of things, right? You probably go to your mom for help for a lot of things. When I was growing up, I thought my mom's, it was amazing, my mom's purse seemed to have everything I ever needed in the moment. If I needed a Band-Aid, or if I needed a tissue, or if I needed a snack, it just seems like she had it. And she always had her Swiss Army knife with her, so that covers just about every other need. And eventually she had cash, and I liked that too, although she didn't give me much of that. But she seemed, it seemed like she had what I needed, right? And how many of you kids, when you go outside, when you go out for the day, you go out somewhere in the car with your mom, how many of you are thinking, okay, I might need a Band-Aid today. I might need a tissue later on today. Well, you probably don't think about those things, but one of our jobs as parents is to think ahead about those things. And we don't do it perfectly, but our job is to think about what you might need that you are not aware of. And in the same way, God knows way better than you do what you need, and He provides for your life. So when you're going through a hard time and you ask God to help you, He will help you in ways you don't even realize you need. You may think of one thing you need from Him, but He knows many more things that you need from Him. So you don't have to be afraid of what might happen, because if you trust in Jesus, God is looking out for all of your needs. Now, as this widow discovered, God's loving care doesn't mean that you'll never suffer. But as we've said already, whatever suffering you have to go through is for your good. So when do you need to be reminded that your God is looking out for all your needs? Maybe money is short right now. Maybe you've had some surprise expenses and you lie awake at night and you can't go to sleep because you just keep thinking of more things that you're going to have to pay, more bills that are coming in, and you think, well, what about all these things I don't even know about? Friends, in those times, cry out to Jesus who provides and saves and knows those ins and outs of your life better than you do. Or maybe you're going through another crisis of some kind and you're afraid of what it's doing to your relationships, and you see that it's hurting your relationship with your family and with your friends and with those you love, and you wonder, how am I ever going to fix these things? How am I ever going to keep up with all these things? In those times, cry out to Jesus who understands those relationships better than you do, and who provides for every need in just the way you need. Are you a needy person? What needs are weighing on you right now? Jesus came not just to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. He came to save you from all of the needs caused by sin. That death on the cross purchased us redemption from all effects of sin. Needs caused by circumstances of living in a sin-corrupted world. Needs caused by sin in the people around us and sin in your own heart. And needs that you and I don't even realize we have. Jesus Christ knows what you need and will save you in exactly the way you need. We're going to sing in a moment from Psalm 72. And that psalm is about God's chosen king. And listen to what it says about our King Jesus. Psalm 72, verses 12 to 14. He delivers the needy when he calls. The poor and him who has no helper, he has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Friends, that is your King, Jesus Christ. So whatever needs you have, whatever ways you are helpless and needy, cry out to your King Jesus to save you. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we are poor and needy. We are helpless by ourselves. And so, Lord, we do beg for your salvation through Jesus Christ. We ask that you would hear us when we call to you. And whatever needs we have, whatever circumstances are weighing on us, whatever people are hurting us, and whatever needs we don't even know about, Lord, please save us as you have saved so many of your people in the past, as you saved this widow that we've been reading about. And Lord, give us the comfort and the hope that whatever is happening in our lives, it is for our good through Jesus Christ if we trust in him. Lord, give us a peace that surpasses understanding as we wait for your salvation. And Lord, please do hasten the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ for that final deliverance to bring us into that perfect peace of the new heavens and the new earth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.